season. Robert Gagliardi joining us here on the program. Gags, what's happening, man?
Much, man. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing quite well. So you're packing for, are you packed and ready to go? Are you ready for the draft?
I don't know if I'm ready. I'm almost packed. Getting there. It's been kind of a whirlwind day and just trying to get things organized, but I'm getting there. Not quite ready, but pretty close.
Are you bringing a suit?
No, but I'm bringing a sports jacket with me.
So you are going to bring a sports jacket. I thought maybe the tuxedo, you'd rent a tux or something like that. Stand out.
No, yeah. Decided not to go with the tux. It crossed my mind once or twice, but not for very long. But no tux and no tie. So I'm going to go business casual, as they call it. So
you, I think you and Brandon Foster should have coordinated to go Dumb and Dumber style with your tuxes.
Yeah.
I approached it with Brandon, but he just kind of gave me the look like, what's this old guy talking about? kind of what I expected.
See, guys from Wyoming, I think that's probably what the media would expect.
Probably so.
Okay, Gags, break it down for us. Wyoming, BYU, future Why? Home and home possibilities. I know you had the story that a source has told you that they've been in talks for a few weeks now. What do you have for us on this Wyoming BYU potential home and home football series?
Well, I got a little bit of a tip or something that Tom Berman had talked with some, I guess, you know, for lack of a better, some kind of high powered boosters, and they said that they would like to have Wyoming play BYU in football. And I don't know if that prompted the thing, but from the sources I was able to talk to, that they, you know, they are in discussions with BYU about a home and home, only a home and home. They're not going to do a one, you know, go to BYU for a money game or whatever. It would have to be a home and home. And it's just for football. There's no other sports that are involved, as of now, but I don't see that necessarily changing anytime soon. When it could happen, I don't know. You know, if you look at Wyoming's non-conference schedule, though, the soonest, unless they move some things around, I mean, they're locked into their non-conference schedule. Their first opening is in 2022, and they have a road game that's open then, so it could start then. They're also locked into their non-conference games for 2023, and then from 24 on through 27, there's openings here and there. You know, as you get a little bit later, there's more openings. You know, BYU, you know, since they did go independent, they've been able to schedule some good games, but they've also struggled to schedule games. You know, they played six Mountain West teams last year, and four of their six wins were against those teams. Or three of their four wins were against Mountain West teams. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. They got three on their schedule this coming season, three in the next couple of years. So I just don't know when this would happen. I don't think Wyoming really would like to start moving their non-conference games around, because those contracts have been signed. They've announced those games. So that's, you know, but there's been times where they've moved games around. So I don't know when it would necessarily happen. It's certainly not going to happen real soon. But they're talking. Whether or not it comes to fruition, I guess, remains to be seen. But probably a chance that it will, just in the fact that, you know, BYU needs games. I mean, you know, Wyoming's schedules, future schedules, are out through 2027. They're non-conference schedules. Now, they're not filled through 2027, but they're out. BYU's is only up until 2020. You know, they have trouble getting games, so I think they'll take games wherever they can, but we'll see. I have a feeling it probably will happen, but I don't think it's going to happen real soon, though.
Right. Now, these were Wyoming boosters who went to Tom and said they would like to see a BYU-Wyoming series?
This is from my understanding from the Grapevine and a couple of other sources that I have here in Laramie. That's what I have heard.
I'd like to find out who those boosters are and have them deported to Utah.
But, Gags, that brings up a question, because I believe you were still on the show when we had Tom Berman on when this whole thing happened when BYU left the conference. And if I'm not mistaken, he said he would never – he said he would never schedule BYU again. I guess time can heal all wounds, but are you surprised this news came out?
A little bit, because I've, you know, talked with Tom about this before, too. And, if this meeting happened, like, you know, again, these are just from sources on, you know, if this happened, it's almost kind of like, are you caving to the guys that, you know, support your program? And, you know, look, Tom Burner is one of the few administrators among any Mountain West schools, period, that was around when BYU left the Mountain West, not just because they left the Mountain West, but their little plan, you know, to take a bunch of Mountain West teams with them and fortify the WAC. And one of those teams that was going to be left behind was Wyoming. Tom Berman doesn't forget that, and nor should he. So I guess I'm a little surprised. And granted, look, you know, I've even, you know, just in the brief time since we posted the story, you know, a couple fans have reached out, oh, you know, about time, I can't wait. You know, it gives me another excuse to hate him again, I think one fan actually said. And I've seen some feedback saying, no way, even like, you know, kind of like what you were saying, Dave. You know, if you want to ask my opinion, you can, but I don't know. It's, I, you know, maybe I'm one that should maybe not hold grudges as much, but I remember what BYU did, and maybe it was more than anything, it was a combination of BYU and the WAC trying to survive, you know, in that round of realignment, whatever have you. They tried to basically tear down the Mountain West, and now, you know, I'll be honest, it still kind of boggles my mind why a lot of Mountain West schools are even getting on BYU's schedule, although a lot of them are ones that, you know, weren't around in the original Mountain West. You know, you're not seeing CSU and New Mexico scheduling them. You're seeing San Jose and Fresno, teams that came into the Mountain West after, you know, after some teams left and stuff. So it's a little surprising that that's going to happen, or at least that the discussions are out there based on what we've heard in the past. But we'll see. You know, again, nothing's done. They've been talking, and from my source, they've been talking for weeks, so I don't know if this is necessarily going overly well. But they are talking, and that's a lot further than I think a lot of people, at least and myself included, thought that would happen.
Well, you know, my problem with this whole thing is the fans that want to play them again. Somebody ought to remember that with that plan that they put together that was going to leave Wyoming and CSU and New Mexico and some of the schools, you know, out of it, those schools were really going to get, you know, it could have ruined Wyoming's athletic program totally. I mean, Wyoming could have ended up in the Big Sky or somewhere, you know, begging to get into the Missouri Valley or something, rather than where they are today. I mean, BYU didn't have any qualms about sticking it to Wyoming and not worrying about what happened to their athletic program. I just don't understand why Wyoming fans all of a sudden would be saying, oh, we ought to play BYU. Now, they got to be from Evanston and Cameron, places over in that part of the state, if they want to play them again, because I think everybody else remembers how BYU tried to ruin Wyoming athletics.
You would think so, Dave, and being from the southwest part of the state with friends, a lot of friends and family there, you know, I'm not quite sure I understand some of their logic. I mean, look, yeah, you know, the two teams that played, you know, they were in the same conference together from 1922 to 2010. You know, when Wyoming was good in the 60s, you know, they kind of owned BYU, and then when Lavelle Edwards came, they, look, you know, call it a rivalry if you want, but it's kind of hard to be a rival when you've won. Look, BYU had won, including the Poinsettia Bowl in 16, they've won 8 in a row in the series, and 31 of the last 38. It's kind of hard to call it a rivalry. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, look, times have changed. You know, is BYU what it was when Lavelle Edwards, you know, it's not, I don't even know if it's a skeleton of what it was back then. Is Wyoming a lot different from those 8 in a row that they lost, even going back just to 2016, they're a different program. But, you know, say, oh, it's a rival. Well, you know, when you're a rival, you got to beat them once in a while, you know. And I don't know, it just leaves a bad taste. The bad taste in my mouth is just the fact that what BYU tried to do to basically ruin the Mountain West and leave Wyoming was one of the schools that would have been left in the dust. It was others, but Wyoming certainly was one of them. That I don't know why fans don't understand that. But again, you know, BYU is a name. It's you know, there's history there, even good, bad, and different history. So, you know, you can say this though: if BYU comes to Laramie for a football game, that probably draws a lot more attention and a lot bigger crowd than if Central Michigan comes or Ball State or whoever else. But again, then we can go back in the whole debate of, well, why do you go to Wyoming games? You go in there to see who the team's playing, the team itself, or you go in there to see, depends on the opponent. And I really don't want to get into that debate and argument today.
just a couple real quick ones, Gags, because I know you got to go. We got a lot of things going on. Tyler Vanderwall, Nick Smith, my personal opinion, I kind of liked what I saw from Tyler Vanderwall. The ball comes out of his hand just a little bit different. I think there's a lot of talent right there. He's very young. Your opinion, though?
I think Nick Smith has had a good spring and has gotten better, but I'm with you. I think Vanderwall is going to be the guy. I mean, I don't have any inside information on that right now, but
right.
I think he's going to be the guy. I'd be a little bit surprised, but again, even as Craig Bull said after the spring game, and he even said it over the last probably week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks of spring, you know, I don't know if it'll be a full-blown competition like it was in the spring, but it's not like it's entrenched. I still think these guys have some things to prove once fall camp starts, no matter who the starter is. But my feeling is with the tools that Vanderwall has, even though I'll give Nick Smith, you know, plenty of credit for what he's been able to do this spring and how he's handled all this, I think Vanderwall's the guy going into fall camp.
And real quickly, your prediction on where Josh Allen will get drafted Thursday?
He's either going to go number one to the Browns or Buffalo, although I've seen some things today where they're trying to get up to, and the Giants won't give up that number two pick. Either goes number one to the Browns or drops no lower than maybe five or six. Maybe if Buffalo gets up to six or seven, I think they're 12, maybe there, but no worse than top 10. And I think about a 60-40 chance he's the number one overall pick Thursday.
Have fun, man. We appreciate it, Gags. Have fun in Dallas.
All right. See you guys.
See ya. There you go. Robert Gags, yeah. We already won.